And in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Having read those verses, notice the last word in this text. Do you see what it is? It's the word distress. It's the word that's translated from the Greek word phlipsis. And it's the idea of pressure. The best way to illustrate the meaning of this word is to picture a balloon. You squeeze the bottom of the balloon, and what happens? The air is forced up into the upper part of the balloon, and it expands. The more air you push up into the upper part of the balloon, the more it expands, until eventually, what happens? It pops. And that's the concept of distress. There is distress. You feel the pressures of life. And the stress that comes with dealing with this pandemic is building up and building up, and you feel like, well, something's going to give. Is that how you feel? Paul is writing to these brethren, and he's feeling the pressure. He's feeling the stress, and it's building up, and he feels like he's about to explode. And it's in that context that we find some thoughts that will help us deal with times of distress. Now, for our thoughts this evening, we're going to focus in on verses 8 and 9. And that's where we're going to be directing our thoughts tonight. The way that you deal with these times of distress is, well, you have to change the way that you think. You have to change your mindset. So here's what we're going to do tonight. Let's study verses 8 and 9 and figure out exactly what these verses are saying. And then second of all, we'll look at some applications as we invite these thoughts into our lives in reference to these times of distress. Let's first of all unfold the text and really try to see exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying in verses 8 and 9. Look at verse number 8 again. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. When you break this verse down to figure out what it means, here's what you find. Verse number 8 begins with the word finally. Now, many of you, well, this is your favorite part of the sermon. It's a word that indicates the conclusion. This is a word that the Apostle Paul uses frequently as a grammatical tool, as a way of indicating, all right, we've dealt with the meat of the letter, now we're ready for some practical applications. And so what we are reading in these last verses is the Apostle Paul making some practical applications in reference to the theme of the book, living the life of a Christian with joy. He then says, finally, brethren. Hey, that's you. That's me. He's writing to us. He's feeling the pressure. He's about to explode, and he's writing to people that were feeling the same way. That's what makes the book of Philippians such a good book to go to when you're feeling distressed. He's writing to people who are struggling. These were people that were feeling distressed, and they were about to explode, and he tells them that they need to understand the joy of living the life of a Christian. Then, as he goes on in verse number 8, he provides a series of categories. Do you like to watch Jeopardy? Wasn't it sad when Alex Trebek passed away last month? I remember watching Jeopardy when Alex Trebek had this thick black mustache. But if you look at the Jeopardy board, across the top you'll have these categories. And below each category is a column full of dollar values. You pick a dollar value and you are given an answer, and then you're required to provide the question. The answer might be, he was the Apostle Paul, born out of due season. And you hit your buzzer and you say, who is the Apostle Paul? Now, you know that whatever answer is to be given, it will be related to the categories along the top of the column. Now, what you have in verse number 8 is a series of categories. Of all the thoughts that we have, of all the ways that we think, our thinking needs to be within one of these categories. And so we're only to think these kinds of thoughts. Now look at verse number 8 again and see the kinds of thoughts that we're to think. We won't take the time, but if we have the time, we could go through each one of these and define each one of the meaning behind each of these categories. But just look at this verse again, and I want you to notice a reoccurring word. Verse number 8 again. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Notice how the word whatever is repeated over and over again. The fact that the word is repeated suggests to us that what we are to be thinking needs to fall in one of these categories. And if what we are thinking does not fall into one of those categories, it does not belong in your mind. What Paul is saying is that you don't think thoughts unless those thoughts can be categorized into one of these things. He then says, meditate on these things. And the word meditate translates the Greek word legizomai. Legizomai. That's what gives us the English word logic. He says, logically think about these things. Nothing else. Let everything else fall to the bottom, through the bottom of the stream. And you focus your attention logically, you reason logically about these things. And so he gives us these categories. Then, as you keep reading, you come to verse number 9, and he gives to us an example of someone who did that. He says for us to meditate on those things, and in verse number 9, the things which we learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now think about the word learned. Paul worked with these brethren in Philippi, and we can read about that in Acts chapter 16. While in Philippi, Paul conducted himself in such a way that individuals could study the life of Paul and then learn from it. Literally, to learn is to increase in knowledge. But it's so much more than just book smart. It's so much more than just being able to quote scripture or list the names of the kings of Israel. The word learned carries the idea of learning by way of application. So these individuals, they grasped what Paul was teaching to the point where they could then take those things and apply them to their daily lives. In making it a part of their daily lives, they became somebody that was knowledgeable in the things that they applied. Then you have the word received. The Greek word literally means to take to your side. Next, you have the word heard. These were individuals who listened carefully to what Paul had to say. They were attentive to Paul's teachings and preachings. Finally, you have the word saw. The Greeks have different words for this idea of seeing. The most common word is blepo, to see with the eyes. Another word is thereto, meaning to observe, which is where we get our English word theorize. Then you have the word eido, which means to see with the mind. And it carries the idea of perception. And that's the word that's used here. He then says, these do. And the word do comes from the Greek word that means to practice. We might put it in another way. We might say to exercise. And the word is a verb that's in the form that suggests an ongoing action. Thinking this way, as Paul did, is not something that we're to do temporarily. It's not something that we're to do periodically as the need arises. This is a constant, ongoing process we're to continue to exercise. And so if we look at the example of Paul and constantly put into practice what we have learned, what we have received, what we have heard, and what we have seen, then we can know the peace of God. Now let's put all that together. We are to think a certain way. We should be able to have all of our thoughts categorized in one of these categories that are found in verse number 8. Then we have the Apostle Paul, whose life is an example to us. And we're able to study the life of Paul. We're able to see with our mind's eye the kind of man he was. And this causes us to open our ears. It causes us to listen attentively to what Paul had to say. And as a result of seeing who Paul was and hearing what Paul had to say, we can take this message to our side, apply it to our lives, and learn from his example by thinking the way that he thinks, by only thinking those things that fall into those categories. So, if I want to get through these difficult times, I need to think in a very specific way. I need to change the way I am thinking into thinking in a way that falls into one of those categories in verse number 8. Now, let's take verses 8 and 9 and invite them into our lives today and see how these verses apply to us. Let me remind you once again that the book of Philippians is a book about joy. That's why we find the word rejoice and joy and derivatives of those words over and over again. But there's another word that we also find reoccurring. And that's the word mind. The word mind. There's a reason for that. If you want to have joy in your life, if you want to live your life as a joyous, happy Christian, that's not going to be achieved based on our circumstances. It's going to be achieved because of a mindset. We have to think a certain way. And if we have the right mindset and we're thinking a certain way, we can live the life of a Christian with joy in spite of our circumstances. So here's what we're going to do. From these verses that we've just read, let's now look at other places in the book of Philippians and find the word mind as it appears. And from those three verses that we're going to be looking at, we're going to see how we can help deal with these times of distress based on the way that we think, a mindset. Let's start with Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. It is there that he says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one, there's our word of interest, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Did you notice that the word gospel is used twice in this verse? He referred to the gospel of Christ. He then wrote about the faith of the gospel. I want to have a mindset where I am striving for the gospel because the gospel is important to me. It is the message that constantly reminds me of how blessed I am as a Christian. I have to think in a way where I am reminded of the blessings that I have as a Christian. So even when I'm feeling lower than a snake's belly, I am so tapped out emotionally, and my feelings are so in distress that I just don't know what to do. I am still to see myself as someone whose life has been positively influenced by the good news of the gospel. Why should I wallow in self-pity? Why should I walk around with my head hanging down and my shoulders drooping? I enjoy something that a majority of the world just does not understand or have. And with this mindset, where I'm thinking about the gospel and what the gospel has done for me, it will help me get through these times of distress. Now let's look at a second passage. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. We'll read verses 2 through 5. Philippians 2, verses 2 through 5. Philippians 2, verse 2 begins, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, in this passage, I have read the word mind four different times. Watch what we've just read. He tells us to be like-minded. He tells us to be of one mind. He tells us to have the same mind. Now, how does that happen? How do we achieve that? The fact of the matter is, you and I are not going to think the same way about everything. Is there anyone in the audience who is a Raiders fan? Is there anyone in the audience who is a 49ers fan? Is there anyone in the audience who's a Cowboys fan? It's okay, don't be embarrassed. Is there anyone in the audience who just doesn't care about football at all? We have one mind? Well, not when it comes to football. We're not going to think the same thing about everything. It's just not possible. Yet this passage tells us that we are to be like-minded. We are to be one mind. We are to have the same mind. So how is that possible? If we study the passage carefully, we will find that a specific way of thinking is what is being addressed. It is a way of thinking that should be the same for all of us. And whatever that way of thinking is, it is also the way that Jesus thinks. Because verse number 5 says that we are to have this mind which was also in Christ Jesus. So how are we to think the same way so that we're of the same mind? We're to think the same way that Jesus thinks. And so if you think like Jesus thinks, and I think like Jesus thinks, then we have the same mind. But what's the kind of thinking that the Holy Spirit has in mind? How did Jesus think? Look at verse number 3 again. Verse 3 says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind." There's your thinking. "In lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." The mindset that we're to have, which was also in Christ, is a mindset of humility. Don't think highly of yourself. Think of others as better than yourself. Now let's take that and let's apply it to our discussion tonight. Here I am feeling distressed. This COVID-19 virus, it's caused a lot of emotional distress. How do I get through it? How do I deal with it? I need to think the same way that Jesus thinks. I need to think with a mindset of humility, just like Jesus did. Now let me ask you this. Did Jesus ever have distress in his life? Yes, he did. Remember what he said to his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26, verses 37 and 38? It says, "And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed." Deeply distressed. Don't miss that. "Then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me.'" Jesus was deeply distressed. Jesus was exceedingly sorrowful. How did Jesus deal with that? What did he say when he prayed 3 times to the Father? Look at the very next verse. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 39. "He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed." Now, if we were to put together Matthew, Mark, and Luke's account, we will find that Jesus, in sequence, he fell to his knees, then fell to the ground, and then fell to his face on the ground. This is a man that was deeply distressed, and he falls on his knees, falls to the ground, and then falls with his face to the ground, and he prays to the Father, and he says, "Oh, my Father." Don't miss the emphatic way he said that. "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Did Jesus face distress by putting himself above everybody else? No. He humbled himself and lived his life as a servant. He humbled himself and he lived in submission to the will of God. That was his mindset. I don't care how awful I feel. I don't care how much I want to give up. I am going to think the way Jesus thinks by living my life, putting others first, submitting myself to the will of God. And when I know that Jesus lives in my heart because I'm living my life thinking the way Jesus thinks, well, that'll help me get through these difficult times of distress. Now let's look at a third passage that employs the word mind. Philippians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Philippians 3, verses 15 and 16. Therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that I have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Now, what does it mean when he says, have this mind? What kind of thinking is he referring to? What's the context? If we were to back up and read verses 12 through 14, we would read about having the goal of reaching and obtaining eternal life. He's talking about forgetting the past and reaching forward to the goal of eternal life. And he says, I am constantly letting go of yesterday and living my life in pursuit of eternal life. He then says, in reference to that, he says, you need to have the same mindset. Now put that in contrast to what we read in verse number 19. Verse number 19, he says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. And so there are some people who set their mind on earthly things. But in contrast, you need to set your mind on things above. You need to have the mindset where you're pursuing the goal of eternal life. This tells me something. I can get through these times of distress when I remember that there is something better that's waiting for me in my future. I have heaven in my future. And it is that hope that keeps me going, even when I'm feeling emotionally, mentally, and yes, even physically exhausted because of these times of distress. Years ago, a student asked Albert Einstein, how many feet were in a mile? Albert Einstein said, I don't know. The student was astonished because such a great mind as Albert Einstein certainly would know something so simple. So the student continued to press, and Albert Einstein finally said, I have determined not to clutter my mind with things I can simply look up in a book. Often our minds are so full of stuff that we don't even need to be thinking about. And when we find ourselves overwhelmed because we're thinking about all the distress concerning COVID-19, we need to ask ourselves, is this way of thinking helping me remember how blessed I am as a Christian? Is this way of thinking helping me to remember that there is something better to come? Is this way of thinking helping me to look out for the welfare of others and submit myself to the will of God? The theme of Philippians is found in chapter 4, verse number 4. This is the thesis statement of the entire book, and it says this: Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I can rejoice even when I'm feeling the distress of this pandemic, because I trust in God. And I know that when I put things into His hands, I will have a peace of mind that surpasses all understanding. But it begins with changing the way you think. Thank you again so much for your kind attention, and I hope that these things have been helpful for you. Tomorrow night at 7 p.m., we're going to be giving attention to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 10. And we're going to be learning that we can get through these times of distress by remembering how much we are loved. And so with that, have a great rest of your evening, and we'll see you again tomorrow night. Good night.
Well, we really want to appreciate, don't we, I would think, the nice, great lesson, I would say, that Chris has given us. We really do want to try to get through these things successfully as children of God. And I think the things that we're going to be studying in these four lessons are really, really going to be helpful to me, and I know to the rest of you. We had a couple of technical difficulties when things first began. So if you're watching this thing on YouTube, you're going to miss the first 5 minutes or so. You didn't have to notice the panic that was going on here in the auditorium, so at least you didn't have to deal with that. But production technician Carrie Eckerd put it all together, and things went really well. It was quite pleasant sitting down here and watching Chris on the big screen. And it was very easy. It was just like being here for a regular sermon. And we thank Chris for that, and we look forward to tomorrow. As he's already said, the idea of recognizing that we are loved, Philippians 4 and verse 10. So be back here with us. I know it's hard sometimes to get these things organized at home, but you can do it. I know you can. And these lessons are very, very appropriate to what we're all experiencing these days. So before we leave this, please bow with me as I close this in prayer. Father, your word has so much wisdom, and we are thankful that Chris was able to draw it out to help our understanding of you and how you make it all work and how you expect us to make it work the best we can. And sometimes we feel overwhelmed with stress and we are distressed. But we know with a certain way of thinking that's presented there in Philippians and that Chris has explained so well, we know we can be armed to manage these things better than we do. So much stress for us, Father. We don't really know what's coming every day in terms of how we're supposed to react to the virus. We all need to take deep breaths and trust in you. And we're thankful to you for the wisdom through your word, which makes it all possible. Truly, I firmly believe we have no real excuses when the word of God is directing us and we submit ourselves to that word. Help us to have a safe evening, Father. And we do look forward to being back again tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.